And tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Dwayne V. from Santee.
Hello, everyone. My name's Dwayne. I'm an alcoholic. My story's like this. I was born close by. I was born at Camp Pendleton. My dad was in the Marine Corps. My dad was 18, and my mom was 17, and away we went. We lived there for about 6 months, and then we moved away, and we moved in with my grandparents. And my dad was a very hard-working alcoholic, is what I realized. He taught me to work hard, and my first drink was with my dad. He wanted to go fishing, so we bought a boat, and we were going to go to Lake Paris for the first time. That lake was brand new. They built a dam, filled it up, and the fish were growing. So I was about 11 years old. So we go there at midnight so we can stand in line, so we can sit in line to go fishing. And so we go fishing, and we're catching fish left and right. And for some reason, we had 3 cases of beer and 2 bottles of water. And so I started to get thirsty. And I asked my dad, I said, "Dad, can we go back to the boat dock? I'm really thirsty. We have nothing to drink." And he goes, "Son, we're catching fish. You either drink that lake water or you have a beer." I was like, "Really? Okay. Well, I guess I have a beer. I've been seeing you drink Budweiser's my whole life. So I guess that's me." So I drank a beer, and we were fishing, and I drank another beer. And, you know, instantly I liked how I felt. Put me in a different world. And that was my first drunk. As time goes on, I experimented a little on and off, and I was about 16, and I had these great friends, and I had a car. We were in high school, and we'd have these parties, and I remember my first good party. I don't remember half of the stuff, but I had these great friends, and they told me how awesome I was, even though I couldn't remember anything, and how funny I was and all this different things. So I asked them, you know, what happened? And I thought, man, I did such a great job at that. I'm going to do it even better the next time. And, you know, that was my first blackout. And I drank like that my whole life. Not much changed. I worked hard just like my dad. But growing up, I remember I never wanted to be like my dad. I didn't want to be that falling down, sloppy drunk. But at 16, even though I drank in high school and I thought that was normal, I had a couple of drinking buddies, we'd bring it and mix it and do it. I thought that was kind of normal. We were just hard drinkers. And so I started drinking away, and my drugs is part of my story too. I'm just going to touch on it for a second. So I was 16 and I'm drinking alcohol, and my uncle, I had this great uncle. He died when he was 38, but he taught me a lot, and he introduced me to this magic powder. And first, you drink alcohol, then you put this magic powder up your nose, and man, I thought I was fucking Superman. You know, I was invincible with this magic powder, and I thought, oh my God, I've landed. This is it, you know? So I spent the next few years trying to get the magic powder, because I didn't want to be that falling down drunk like my dad was. So if I did enough of the magic powder, I could drink more, longer, and still go to work and never miss a day. So I continued to do that magic powder. And then of course, to support it, I had to get into the manufacturing and distributing business. And so I thought I was kind of like a business guy on top of a tile guy. And away I went, early 80s. I get my first DUI accident, go to jail, get out, and I go to court, and, you know, I just go into court like I didn't know what it was like, and the judge says I'm going to do significant time, that I need to take my plea back and get a lawyer. So I got a lawyer and did that and did what I was supposed to do, and I had a bunch of nudges from the judges, from the Riverside County Police and Orange County Police and all these people. people, including my mom, that planted some seeds. My mom would ask me questions like, I was very upfront with my mom. She knew when I was dealing. She knew when I was an alcoholic. And my mom one time, I'll never forget this, she looks at me and she's like, Dwayne, I wonder what your life would be like if you didn't drink and use. And, you know, I wanted to tell my mom the honest God's truth. And so I thought about it for about a minute. And I said, you know what, Mom? I can't imagine my life without alcohol and drugs. I think I'm gonna have to die first. And my mom didn't like that. But away I went. And the next thing you know, I'm doing this stuff. I'm going to work every day. I'm doing this stuff. I get married. I have a couple kids. And I don't think I have a problem. And because I go to work every day and I do these things and I'm not falling down. And next thing you know, I'm about to get a divorce. Things are falling apart at the seams. And so I decided to check myself in rehab. And after a week, I decided, you know, that wasn't for me. So I continued to drink and left my wife and we divorced. And then I decided to move down to San Diego. My buddy that taught me tile was down there, and he said, I heard you're going through some rough times. I have some jobs for you to do. So I come down there, and we get back on the magic and drinking every day. And next thing you know, I get 2 DUIs in a row. I'm like, shit, I'm just hitting some bad times here. It must be that divorce. And but I knew how to use the lawyer system, so I got a lawyer and all this stuff, and I'm working really hard and doing this stuff, and I got this new girlfriend, so I'm thinking, wow, I gotta change my shit, you know, this girlfriend, she wasn't a cop, but she wanted to be a cop, so I can't tell her about any of the magic, and, you know, I gotta really hide my shit and lie a lot, you know, and I was a good liar, and so things just went along, and you know, I didn't get sober for the girlfriend because I tried getting sober for my first wife, my grandma, my kids, all that stuff. It never stuck. I never stayed sober more than 30 days. And I'd start feeling so good that I'd go back out again. So in 2000, I decided to get sober for Dwayne. And I knew how to find a meeting. I'd done it before. I looked up a meeting and so I go to my meeting, and eventually I got a sponsor. Well, no, I got a sponsor right away, but it took me 6 months to call him. And so I finally called him, and I start doing the steps. And the steps, I'm not going to lie, I don't suggest this, but it took me about 3 years to do the steps. So I'd wait till I was in a lot of pain, and then I'd work on my step, and then wait till I was in more pain, work on my step. And I stayed sober for a while, and I had about 5 or 6 years of sobriety under my belt. I was going strong. So I'm just going to speed it up. I might go over a minute. I want to share this part. It's real important to me. What it brings out is, you can stay sober no matter what. And I was 6 years sober, and I got a phone call that my 19-year-old took his life. And the reason I bring that up is I stayed sober through all that stuff. I went to a meeting the next day, and I shared my story. And there was other people that had been through similar things. But my sobriety went on cruise control. And I had about 14 years of sobriety. And I'm just cruising. I'm not working with others. I'm just bouncing on some meetings once a week. I think I got life by the balls. And next thing you know, I hit a low point in my life, and I was depressed. And I wanted to take my own life. And this was 2 years ago. But I wouldn't do it because I have a 13-year-old, and I thought he didn't deserve it. So I drank every day and did this outpatient rehab, and then I decided I needed help, and I started going to meetings just like I did back in 2000. started going to meetings, got a sponsor, started working the steps. And, you know, my life has changed a lot. You know, it's different inside today. I'm still working my steps. I'm on my ninth step. I talk to my sponsor, not every day. I'd be lying if I said I called him every day, but I call him a couple times a week, and I try to meet with him every week. And, you know, I'm a better father to my kids. I'm a better husband to my wife. And honestly, I've never had it so good. You know, when I was first sober, I had it good, but I missed something along the way, you know. And I can tell you, when I did my four-step, my fourth and fifth with my sponsor, I didn't leave anything out. And I just want to share this because right before I shared my step work with my sponsor called me and he said, 2 days before, about a day before, he says, I want you to write down, and you don't have to fill it all out, I want you to write down some things that you're going to take to the grave. And I said, okay. So I just wrote these key words, so in case anyone found my shit, they wouldn't know what I was talking about. I wouldn't be guilty. And so I did that. My sponsor shared some stuff that he had went through, and I thought, shit, I can share everything with him. You know, I did, and I felt so much better. And I'm just going to close with this. My wife, she knew I was going to be nervous and stuff, and I've been with her since 98. But right before, about 15 minutes ago, or 30 minutes ago, she sent me this text. She goes, I just wanted to let you know how proud I am to have such a wonderful husband. You have an amazing story of strength and courage. I love you so much, and I'm proud to call you my loving husband. That's all I got. Thanks for being here.